In the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We'll be concentrating today on a passage from the first epistle of St. John. And it comes from chapter 1, verse 14. Where he says, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is the beginning. And this is what we want to concentrate on. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you. Now, between today and tomorrow, we're going to discuss this verse. Today, we'll focus on I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. And then we'll look at the abiding in us, the word abiding in us, tomorrow. Obviously, for the purpose of this talk, we are going to take young men as meaning young women as well. So if you will, just in case, where we don't want to be accused of being sexist or anything. So, and I don't think St. Paul, in this context, only was talking about the men, but he was talking about young people generally. The scriptures talk about youth and the importance of youth, and the importance of youth as a stage in life of giving oneself to God, because it is the beginning of strength and wisdom. If you look at the development of humans generally, you will find that we start as children, being young, inexperienced, unwise, simple. And that is not the best stage to serve at, because it is a stage where there is still a lot of inexperience, a lack of knowledge of many things. When you turn now to the stage of youth, you find two things. You find the development in terms of human practice, in terms of abilities, strength, wisdom. But then you also find a potential development in spirit. And when you put these two together, you have an extremely strong combination that can lead to incredible things for the work of God in this world. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. Now, unfortunately, in the world today, we don't feel very strong sometimes. We can feel physically strong, but we don't feel strong in ourselves. Something's lacking, something's missing. We feel that there is either something that is weakening us, or sometimes something that has broken us. And because of those two, we don't feel strong. What is our concept of strength? From where do we get our strength? And maybe that will lead us to what St. John speaks about here. What is our source of strength? In many things in our lives today, our source of strength becomes either the world or ourselves. When I look at myself as a source of strength, I look at my ability, I look at my intelligence, I look at my physical strength, I look at my intellect, I look at my knowledge, myself, me. Now, if you are anything like me, you know that when you depend on yourself, things go very wrong. things aren't the same. Things go okay for a while because they are subject to what we are doing in ourselves. But you know that our personal strength fluctuates because as humans, we change. We have one day we are very good, one day we're very bad. One day we're strong, one day we're weak. One day when we see hope, and one day when we are in complete despair. And as long as my strength and yours comes from ourselves, we are not strong. We're not strong. Because we fluctuate, we change. We do wonderfully on some days, and then all of a sudden, something happens. That something can come from an initial weakness, or it can come from something that weakens us. We could originally be weak in ourselves. We haven't developed properly in terms of our character, our temperament, our spirituality. We haven't developed, we haven't grown. And we don't grow sometimes. We don't grow because we like living the infancy. You see, being a child, being an infant, carries a lot less responsibility, a lot less stress, a lot less requirement. No one holds you accountable for anything. As a child, you don't need to do anything. As a child, you have no responsibility. As a child, you can choose what to pay attention to and what to ignore. Let's face it, how much responsibility is going to lie on our shoulders as children? How much are we going to affect? How substantial is that going to be? So as children, it's much less stress, less pressure. So we like to be children sometimes. Those of you who have studied child psychology will know that one of the earliest stages of childhood is a stage of egocentricity. We are egocentric, ego self, centered around the self. Everything is about me. When I'm egocentric, I want what suits me, what pleases me, what is important to me, what satisfies me, and anybody else really doesn't matter. So as long as we live this spiritual infancy and childhood, it's a consoling thing for us. We don't want the responsibility. It's like talking to some people about getting married and settling down, and suddenly they go into a fit. They start to have panic attacks. And you know, guys, I really hate to break this to you. This used to be an all-male domain. Now even that is being broken into by the ladies. I had one girl who was talking to me last week, and she's engaged, and she's you know, very happy with her relationship and with her fiancé, and it's a wonderful guy. She's a very good girl. But the risk, the thought of having to settle down and share a life and have commitments and have responsibilities, she is literally going into a panic attack. Why? Because there is responsibility. Now I have to think of somebody else. I have written to you young men because you are strong. We want the strength of youth. We don't want the weakness of childhood, of infancy. We want to be able to look at others and needs of others. As a child, I don't need to look at anybody else. But as a young man, as a young woman, and more so as a young man or a young woman, son or daughter of God, we have requirements and responsibilities and commitments We want to be that person who is of Christ. St. John writes many things here. I write to you, children, because your sins are forgiven. He's consoling them. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Wisdom. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wickedness. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. And again, I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. That strength is what leads us to overcoming the wicked one. We have a responsibility to overcome the wicked one. There is a responsibility placed on our shoulders in this passage. We're not being consoled saying, okay, my dear children, your sins are forgiven. We're not saying, okay, you have known the Father in the beginning of all things. We are being told that we have a responsibility to use our strength and responsibility to overcome the wicked one. That responsibility is on three levels. Responsibility is for myself, responsibility for others around me, whom I know, and responsibility towards the whole world. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't draw any lines as to limitations of our responsibilities. He said to his disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power from on high, and you will do what? You will preach in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world. No limitation. There is no limitation to any one of you on what your responsibility is. There is a priority, but no limitation. My priority is towards me, Jerusalem first, and then my town folk, Judea, the body of Christ, those who are in this battle with me, and then Samaria, those who are nearby, yet they're not very close. There are boundaries between us. And then, to the end of the world. That is the strength of our conviction and the importance of our message, our mission. Do not for a moment think that spreading the word of God is my responsibility and the responsibility of the fathers alone. Don't ever think that. Spreading the word of God and spreading his message is our responsibility, all of us, each and every one of us. The wonderful imagery that is used in Scripture is very vivid. We are not called the people of God. We are not called the communion of God. We are called the body of Christ. One body. All of us together. The one body with its head as our Lord and our God. Its head as our Lord Jesus Christ. We all have that responsibility. But where do we derive that strength? Where does that strength come from? We've ascertained that it can't come from us. It can't. Because we change, we alter, we fluctuate. So as long as we depend on ourselves, we fail. And it becomes so frustrating. How many of us have gone to our confession fathers time and time and time again with the same sin, with the same weakness? We don't mean not to try. We actually walk out of our confession session saying, I will not do that again. I am going to be strong. I am going to, with the grace of God, be victorious. I am going to, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be strong and overcome this. And we really mean it. But that strong, valiant, focused human being that comes out of that confession session in weeks, days, months, becomes someone who is distracted by the world and focused on several directions and losing that focus slowly, and then suddenly someone who is fragmented and weakened and broken. Sin breaks us. That's why I was saying the lack of strength either comes from an initial weakness, me not wanting to make that leap into the strength of being a young man or a young woman, wanting to live the spiritual childhood. Or secondly, the weakness comes from being broken. We are broken by sin. We are broken by Satan. We are broken by our own weakness because we become frustrated. If you look at these words here in the epistle and you look in the mirror and you think, is this the person? Is this the young man, the young woman who is strong? Is this the young man or young woman who has overcome the wicked one? Is this who we are? Is this who I see in the mirror? Is this who I see when I assess my actions and my deeds and my life? Is my life really the life of a strong man or woman who has overcome the wicked one? It's a question we'll have to answer. I hope that most of us here can say yes. I hope that most of us, when we look in the mirror, see that strength and see that person who can overcome the wicked one. But if we're not, because I know sometimes I'm not, and I'm sure sometimes many of you aren't, if we're not, where is the problem? Where is the weakness? The weakness is in me. The weakness is in I. I can do this. I can do that. I am strong. I am invincible. I am victorious. I am wise. I am knowledgeable. I'm tired. I'm defeated. I'm weak. And I'm broken. The I is the problem. So we have to think with each other. What is the solution? What's the solution to this weakness? The solution is that we take the I, the me, out of the equation, and we put in the him with a capital H. God comes into the picture. St. Paul was quite clear. And St. Paul was wise. He said, I can do all things. But that's not where it stopped. How many of us can say, I can do all things? We'd love to. But St. Paul went on to say, I can do all things, then the important part, in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. You see, our strength is in God, and God alone. Our victory is in God and in God alone. We don't want to be weak. We have a responsibility to be strong for ourselves, because ultimately, we are the only ones who can get ourselves into the kingdom of God with our work and with God's grace. No matter how much Abuna tries to chase you, and Abuna tries to push you, and Abuna tries to motivate you, and your servants try to serve you, no matter how much that happens, it is only I who can do the real work. They can help, they can support, but it is me. But if that me is me alone, I will never see this strength that St. John speaks of. I will never see this strength. How many of us want to be broken and weak? We look at this verse and we think, I wish I was that person. I really wish I was strong. I really wish that I was the one who overcame the wicked one. I really wish I was the one who is strong. Strong in everything I do and in my conviction. Well, we can be. It's not impossible. To tell you the truth, it's not even difficult. It's simple. It's easy. It's straightforward. But it takes positive conviction and it takes a positive action. You see, I can be strong if I am willing to say what St. Paul said. And that is that I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Am I willing to say that second part? Am I willing to have him in my life so that he can strengthen me? Why do we lack this strength, this power? Because we try to do it on our own. Our Lord Jesus Christ, and you've all seen the nice picture that is so moving and so inspiring to many people, that covers the verse that says, I stand at the door and I knock. He's there. He's knocking. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to come in. But we have to be that person who opens for him and accepts him in. So he will sit and he will dine and he will reside and he will strengthen. I see faces here of strong people. But I see faces of strong people weakened by sin and weakened by a lack of God's presence. Now this is an indication of any one of you in particular. This is an indication of all of us. All of us. Because we are all subject to that sin. And we are all subject to that weakness. We want to be that strong young man, young woman. Because that strong man and young woman, suddenly, after becoming a strength for themselves and in themselves, become a strength to others. When you see someone who is strong, you are inspired. When you see someone who's strong, you know that it's achievable. It's not just some strange mythical concept. It is something that can be done. It is achievable, fully achievable, because I see other people doing it. And when, which will happen, when we weaken at times, others will be around us, ready to strengthen us and to pick us up. We are each other's strength. It's nice to see you all here. It's nice to see the fathers here. And seeing the fathers here means to me that you are here from various churches and representing various churches. And it's wonderful to see you together. It's wonderful to see you in that unity of the bond of Christ. But what do you do with that unity? Do you use that unity to strengthen one another? To empower one another? To support one another? You now are living in a jungle. You now are martyrs. Because every time you walk out of that door, you walk into a world that attacks everything you stand for. You walk into a world that tries to break down every one of your beliefs. And if you do not support one another, if you don't strengthen and help one another, you will fall prey to that world. Because that world is violent, it is volatile, it is strong, it is aggressive. That world is governed by the prince of darkness, by Satan, who has no other intention but to break us and to distance us from God. He doesn't want St. John to be looking at you or you or you or you and saying, I have written to you because you are strong. He doesn't want to see us strong. He wants to see us weak. Why should he be weak alone? Why should he fall alone? Why should he be lonely in eternal damnation? He wants us all with him. He wants to throw a big party. He were all invited. All invited. With open arms. He will accept us all. This is one invitation I'm not really happy to accept. Although it's easy. Simple. All I've got to do is go with the flow. Just follow the stream. Go down that road. And suddenly I'm there. He wants to break us and to defeat us. He doesn't want us to be strong. Because he knows that the only source of our strength is in our Lord Jesus Christ, is in God. He doesn't want us to be close to God. He knows that when we are in the presence of God, he can do nothing to harm us. It is only when we are distant from God, when we are away from him, that he can do what he wants. And one important fact that you should know, I'm sure you already do, but God doesn't change. God is perfect. God is constant. Constant in his perfection. Which means, quite simply, that God does not become distant from us because he changes. We become more removed from him because we change. God is constant. He is fixed. We move away from him when it suits us and come back when it suits us. There was footage on the news in England, in London, last week, about on an attempted abduction of a child. There was a mother who was in a large retail store with her son, and suddenly she must have been doing something, and the boy walked away. And in that instant when he walked away, people tried to abduct him and take him. But thankfully, one of the store assistants saw this happening and prevented it. That shows us that we are that child. We only have confidence and strength and security when we are in our father's hand, when we're in our mother's hand. Once we leave that hand, the predator will come and will try to snatch us. He can't dare come anywhere near us when we're strong, because he knows better. He understands. He knows that our strength is in Christ, which means that at the times that I am strong, that the Lord is right behind me, and he's not going to come anywhere near me at that time. When is he going to try to come? He's going to try to come when I'm alone, when I've strayed, when I've left that secure, protective hand, and I've decided to do my own thing. God is our Father, our church is our mother. That strength comes to us when we are in that embrace, in that unity. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. Are we strong? If our answer is no, then what are we going to do about it? That's all we're here today for. You're not here to see the guy coming in town with the funny accent. Okay. You're here to learn something about your relationship with God. You're here to come closer to him. And I'm confident. The fact that you have left whatever you're doing today, and you could be doing lots of things, and you have come to a church to hear someone speaking the word of God, means that you want that strength. No matter how apparently distant it is from you, you want that strength. Now, how do we achieve it? We achieve it by keeping a hold of our Father's hand. We achieve it by following the wise and experienced words of St. Paul, who tells us we can do all things in our Lord Jesus Christ, who tells us that he is smarter than any of us. We sit here and we sing the praises of St. Paul. Wow, those writings, the wisdom, the mission. He's touched so many people. Until today he touches people. Until today he inspires. What a man. Wish I could be like that. And St. Paul's laughing at us, really. Because we don't understand. We don't understand the actual picture. But then he decides to relieve us from our the impression that we have from our little fantasy. And he says, you know why I'm successful? You know why I can write? You know why I can speak? You know why I can touch people? You know why I'm strong? Because it is not I who live, but Lord Jesus Christ, who tells us that he is smarter than any of us. We sit here and we sing the praises of St. Paul. Wow, those writings, the wisdom, the mission. He's touched so many people. Until today he touches people. Until today he inspires. What a man. Wish I could be like that. And St. Paul's laughing at us, really. Because we don't understand. We don't understand the actual picture. But then he decides to relieve us from our the impression that we have from our little fantasy. Then he says, you know why I'm successful? You know why I can write? You know why I can speak? You know why I can touch people? You know why I'm strong? Because it is not I who live, but who attacked, actively and positively attacked Christianity. I used to kill and torture Christians. I used to persecute Christians. And so when you talk about someone who can convert and who can preach and who can strengthen and who can speak and who can witness, it's not I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. What I lacked before was the Christ who lives in me. What I have now is the strength that comes from him. How many of us want that strength? How many of us are ready to accept that strength? That strength comes with power, but it comes with responsibility. Responsibility for ourselves, responsibility for those around us. Now, a lot of the time we can't walk up to someone we don't know and say, listen, I see there's something wrong with your life. I see that you need to be strengthened. I see that you need to be inspired. I see you need to be directed. We can't say that. Who can go up to someone who they don't know and say that? But rather than say it, we can actually do a lot more. We can live that life. We can live that life of strength and of power. How many people don't want to be powerful? How many people don't want to be strong? When they see you strong, confident, happy, powerful in God, who isn't going to follow your lead? Who is going to positively and intentionally choose to be weak? Who's going to choose to be isolated and vulnerable? None of us would. And I'm sure nobody out there would either. We all want strength and comfort and support and fellowship. We all want to feel that we belong. What people do now is they have nothing else, so they want to belong to the world. But we know what we have. We know what power we have. And we know what we can do with it. And so Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What is that power of his might? What do you mean? Well, St. Paul doesn't leave us hanging on the edge. He goes on to tell us. He goes on to tell us what that strength is. He says to us, from verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." That is the source of our strength. The source of our strength is that armor. If I walk into a battle unarmed, unprepared, unprotected, I will die. I will die. Not maybe, not possibly, not even potentially. I will die. And so the only source of strength for me, if I want to hear the words of St. John, "I have written to you because you are strong." Well, St. John, what is the source of my strength? You'll say, okay, go back to St. Paul, who tells you the source of your strength is the full armor of God. The full armor of God. It is the truth, the righteousness, the gospel of peace, the faith, salvation, the word of God. And you can't leave one of these behind. You can't go into a battle without the breastplate, or without the helmet, or without the shield, or without the sword. You can't. It's a full armor. It all goes together. Well, I know. You see, I like the whole concept of salvation, but I find it really difficult to read the Word of God and the Gospel. You know, I like truth, but righteousness is a very difficult thing for me. You know, I love the faith, but I can't practice it properly with the whole gospel of peace idea. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. The armor of God protects every potential striking point in our body, our minds, our hearts, our strength. The fiery darts that can come into every place that is only protected by the shield and the whole body that is protected by the sword that is the Word of God. I can't walk into a battle without all of that. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We try. I try. You've tried before. It doesn't work. We try taking half the armor. And you know what? The strike will come in the half that you're not wearing. Murphy's Law applies to Christian faith and Christian life. I really think Satan is the one who thought up Murphy's Law. Because when you think you've got it all down, it doesn't work. You know, when you plan everything and you leave one thing that's unplanned, you know that it's one thing that you're going to need. Our strength is in the presence of the Lord in our lives. Our strength is in His full armor. Full armor. Our strength is in Him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. For He is a mighty Lord. He is mighty. He is strong. He is powerful. You know, I think these people wrote very well, and I like the linguistic connection here of the power of His might. It's not just His power, it's almost intensified. It's power squared. No, it is not because you're strong in His power, you're strong in the power of His might, which makes it even more powerful. And you can have that. You can achieve that. You can live that. So John writes this as if it's something that's done, already done. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. You are strong. We just don't use that strength. We don't realize it. We don't know it. We are strong because we all have our Lord within us. We just decide to leave Him aside and not use Him when it comes into that conflict. How many of us, when we are in conflict within ourselves with sin, try to fight it on our own? And we try to fight it on our own, we fall. It is in Him. It is He who gives me strength. He does all things. He can make me overcome. He allows me to overcome. He will quench those fiery darts. He will turn the attack of Satan into a form of conquest and victory for me. There's a wonderful little passage in the liturgical rite of matrimony, in the wedding rite. And it's not the bit about calling Abraham master, so you don't have to worry about that. It's towards the end of the service where the priest prays over the bride and the groom, and he blesses them. And he says, may the Lord turn all things that are a source of evil and of distress into blessing. Because we will all have attacks in our lives. What God can do is take that battle, that attack, and turn it into a victory. He transforms. Our Lord transformed the man born blind into someone who could not only see, but who stood in the midst of the synagogue and taught the teachers of the nation. He transformed the woman who had fallen into sin into someone who was his and who followed him. He transformed the woman who had lived with five husbands and was with one who was not her husband and who lived in shame into someone who went out and proclaimed that he is the Christ. He transformed humanity that was living in darkness and the shadow of death into his body that awaits everlasting joy in his kingdom that has been prepared for us. He transforms. He transforms my weakness into strength, my defeat into victory. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You know, there are times in our lives when we overcome the wicked one, but not always. And let me give you a little word, just friendly advice between you and me, and don't tell anyone I told you this, but there's a little tip that you will be able to make use of. When you are victorious, when you have overcome the wicked one, then you are close to God, and he carries you through these conquests. When you don't, you're not with him. Let's not say that too loud. Anyone, just someone might actually finally gather what's happening. You know, when we are defeated and weakened and broken, we're like that little boy in the store who leaves his mother's hand and falls prey to people who try to snatch him away. And whereas that little boy was very lucky, we're sometimes not so lucky. We're sometimes not so fortunate, not so blessed, because sometimes we go just far enough away to allow Satan to snatch us. He is our strength. He is our life. He is our victory. He is our salvation. If we want to be that young man of God, that young woman of God, who is strong, who overcomes Satan, who has overcome the evil one, we stand firm, holding our Father's hand, within the embrace of our Mother, fully realizing the strength that we have in the armor that He has given us, in the strength He has given us, in the power, strength that is in His might, in His might. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Just take a moment, please, to close your eyes or put your head down or do something just to focus on what you've heard. Just pick one or two points that you can take away with you. Does anybody have any questions or comments they'd like to share? Actually, could you take this?
Sayyidina, you said we're usually strong after confession because we just feel we just walked out of a conversation with the priest, which connects us to God, and we're still close to God. And then when we go out into the real world, we start slowly moving away, drifting away, because we concentrate on other things. So how can we apply everything you just said today while still fulfilling our everyday duties? Because I'm sure that in the Bible it doesn't say concentrate on church and forget about everything else. That's not what it means. But how do you do that?
By first of all realizing that we don't have two lives. We can't have two lives. We can't see, as long as we keep thinking that I have to do this to live in church and then this to live in real life, we have a problem. The concept of this real life is an issue in itself, because my faith is real life. My life with God is real life. This isn't some sort of fantasy land we live in. This has got to be part of our lives. As long as we keep living this duality, this dual life, it never works. What I have to realize is that whatever I do or see or hear here, I take outside and keep living with. I'm not saying it's easy. It is difficult. That's what we need to do. We have to keep living our Christian faith and our Christian principles in everything we do. And it will be a struggle, and it will be difficult, but as I said, we will have the power and the strength and the might of God that helps us get over that. And in that context, we become strong and we're able to live on. But what happens with many of us is we come to church and we think, well, yes, I'm here, it's a nice meeting, I've heard some nice words, now I've got to get on with life. And that becomes a problem. And you know, it's just, even if we don't do it consciously, we do it subconsciously, that out there is reality, but in here is some kind of ideal structure. This idealism has to be lived out there to become reality. Because as long as our Christianity is some kind of idealistic philosophy, it is only a theory. It only takes shape when we live it. And we can live it. It's not easy, but we can. Is that okay? Lots of people back here.
I was just reading in the Gospel of St. Luke, there was a part where it says to make friends. I don't know, I probably misunderstood it. That's why I'm asking the question. It says to make friends with people who live in the world or who have money, something around those lines, because when you fall, they will be there. Something that I didn't quite understand it. I just need to pull out the verse. Yeah. If there's a Bible around. Thank you.
Anybody else have any other questions? While Daniel looks this up, does anyone have any other questions? Question?
I'm just wondering, what about God glorifying people who are weak? Strength and weak. What about strength and weakness? And those people who maybe have a chronic illness or something that appears on the outside to be weakness, but they end up glorifying God. How does that fit into what you're talking about as well?
It fits in perfectly, because our assessment of strength and weakness is not on human ability. This is why one of our main objections to termination of pregnancy, because the child is potentially disabled, is that it doesn't really matter what the body or even the mind is, because the spirit is something else completely. So even if there is illness, there is physical weakness, it doesn't mean the spirit in itself is weak. Sometimes the spirit is very strong. Many of us may have experienced strength in people who are ill, and we see their illness and we're inspired by the way they live. There's a young man at the moment who was in an accident in Egypt, and he's come to London to be treated. And he is, for all intents and purposes, now quadriplegic. He has very limited movement in a few fingers of one hand. But the number of people he has inspired just by the peace that is within him is incredible in itself. There are people who walk, and I've heard this from several people who are unrelated, so it's not just one observation, where it's obvious that even in his apparent physical weakness, and this is someone who is young, he's maybe in his early 30s, who is completely incapacitated, but who can bring forth this peace and this power to those who deal with him. So definitely, God can use all of us to bring forth this power, and he can make us powerful in whatever state we're in. But we focus too much on the physical and on the worldly side of things, and we don't concentrate as much on the spiritual.
And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations.
That is the end of the parable of the steward that was going to be evicted by his master. And the story, that parable, isn't really focusing on that phrase. It is focusing more on how shrewd the steward was in trying to utilize that situation to make his position better. And is telling us here, our Lord is telling us here, that we should try to utilize the same wisdom that we utilize sometimes for shrewd worldly events into what is spiritual for ourselves. So sometimes we will think of ingenious ways to make the best of a bad situation in the world, or very creative ways to try to fix a problem that we're in. But we won't necessarily use the same ingenuity or creativity or insight or wisdom in trying to alleviate our spiritual matters. So he uses this man as an example of what people in the world will do to get out of situations. Whereas spiritually we can put in situations that we don't try to get out of. We feel defeated. Spiritually we feel down, that's it. We're down, we're distraught, we're destroyed, we're broken, we can do nothing. He's saying in this situation that while this is a very human thing for him to do, that we should in our spiritual lives try to make the best of situations and try to overcome them with the same ingenuity. And again, it's a mix of this world out there and spirituality and here thing. So it's related to that question as well. What about those who say that we are weak and that is why we have turned to God for something to believe in? Well, the first part is yes, even turning to God in weakness is a good thing. It's a beneficial thing. But I think you're talking here more about the whole Marxist situation of calling religion and faith the opium of the people, and people resorting to faith only because they need to hold on to something to believe in. And we're talking about the whole, you know, it's not God who created man, men who created God for his own comfort, which can't be true. Because if we're saying this, then we are doubting the mere presence of God in any way. We're just doubting his presence completely. And we know that God exists, whether it's by experience or scripturally. You know, we believe in the authority of Scripture. And we believe in the inspiration of Scripture by God. Every word is inspired by God. And Scripture tells us that God exists, and our hearts tell us that God exists. And our experience tells us that God exists. How many of us can honestly think that God's not there, we've just created him? People just sometimes have a problem dealing with situations that express and expose human weakness. And so therefore, if I'm in a problem, then I have created something that is bigger and better, and I've created a means to overcome this problem. But that's not the case. The case is that God exists, and God has created us, and God's arms are outstretched, waiting for us to come to him in whatever situation, in strength, in weakness, in victory, in defeat. Even nearing spiritual death, he is still there, and he will still receive us unto himself, and he will still help us, and he will still revive us, because we are his children, and he wants us with him in his kingdom. So definitely, if we go down this line of thought, we would basically say, well, these people say that God doesn't exist and he's a creation of our own minds. Our scripture, our faith, our tradition, our history, everything goes against that principle, goes against that way of thought. And we just need to stick with our faith and what we see to be the presence of God in our lives. I realize it's late. Thank you for your patience and your attention, And I hope that God gives you that power and that you can utilize it for your own peace and your own strength and your own victory and the glory of His name in the world. And glory be to God forever. Amen.